Hello, and welcome to episode 45 of the Bible Q&A with Pastor Stephen. My name is Stephen Pace, and I'm the senior pastor at Decatur Bible Church in Decatur, Michigan. On this podcast, I attempt to answer Bible questions in a clear but thorough manner. If you would like to have a Bible-related question considered for a future episode, you can email me your question to PastorStephenDBC@gmail.com. Again, if you have a Bible-related question that you'd like me to consider for a future episode, you can email me the question to PastorStephenDBC@gmail.com. This is the second episode in a series of podcasts where we are looking at examining Matthew's prophecies related to the birth of Jesus. In the previous episode, which is episode 45, we looked at the prophecies related to Jesus that are recorded in Matthew that deal with him needing to fulfill being a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so we primarily looked at that in the previous episode. So today we're going to continue looking at some more of the prophecies that the Gospel of Matthew gives in the first two chapters, and they relate to the birth of Jesus. So grab your Bibles and let's get started. Now, we ended the previous episode looking at the prophecy that the Messiah would also, in addition to being the descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but that he would also be a ruler from the tribe of Judah. Now, this prophecy is given early in the Bible. In fact, it's in Genesis 49:10, and we know it was fulfilled, for example, one reference in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 2. So we see where the future Messiah would need to be a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus clearly fulfills this. We see this in his genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. But we also see that he is to be a king or ruler from the tribe of Judah, which is referenced in Matthew chapter 1 in verse 2 as well. Now, there are two more of Matthew's prophecies that relate to the Messiah being a specific ruler. Now, one of the things to make note of is, as you go through these prophecies, these are not vague. In fact, they're very specific. I would suggest to you that they get more specific in the progress of Revelation in the Bible. In other words, when you begin looking at some of the prophecies related to the coming Messiah, they get more specific as you go from Genesis to Exodus, on through the prophets and such. So they get very, very specific. So these are not vague, but very, very specific in which someone would need to fulfill in order to be the Messiah, or as we call him, Christ. Now, we're going to begin by looking at in this episode that in addition to being a ruler from the tribe of Judah, but that the Messiah would also need to be a heir or descendant of the throne of David. So you begin to see where we move from the patriarchs to something more specific with Judah, but in particular that the heir to the throne of King David would need to be part of the fulfillment here. Now, in order to better understand this, although we could just jump right into Matthew, I do want us to take some time to look at 2 Samuel first. So 2 Samuel chapter 7, in verses 12 through 13, and again, somewhat relaying back to what I previously said, prophecies related to Jesus or the Messiah, in other words, they get more specific as you progress through the revelation of the Bible. And so by the time you get to 2 Samuel, in the storyline, if you will, of the Bible, God has brought the people into the promised land. They're established as a nation. They also have had a king and such. Now, by the time you get to the time when David is making plans to build the temple. God's going to give David or establish a covenant with David. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 13. And this is typically referred to as the Davidic covenant. So again, the Davidic covenant is seen in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 13. Now, before we look at the verses, I'm going to read you something from the Moody Handbook of Theology. And it does a good job of concisely explaining and defining what the Davidic covenant is, which is very important for various reasons, for our purposes, of course, related to Matthew's prophecies of Jesus' birth. It says the Davidic covenant, quote, an unconditional covenant in which God promised David he would, one, a house, a continuing dynasty, two, a kingdom in which the Messiah would one day rule, three, a throne, four, that it is eternal. So let me summarize that again. So the Moody Handbook of Theology defines the Davidic covenant as unconditional, and God promised David four things. One would be a house, in other words, a continuing dynasty, the continuation of the line of David in terms of kings. Two, a kingdom in which Messiah one day would rule. Three, a king obviously needs a throne. So again, there's the emphasis on that. And then four, what makes this unique in this promise as well is that it's eternal. So if we look at the verses, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 13, that's what we see. I'm going to read it from the New American Standard, the 95. It says, when your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for me, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So that gives you an idea of the Davidic covenant, God's promise that he now has the people in the promised land. They're established as a nation, and the idea of a kingdom is established with kings. David's lineage would produce, of course, a king, and as we already saw, that would be eternal. Now, before we see the link and how this connects to Matthew's prophecies, let's take a moment now before we head back there to go to the book of Isaiah. Now, these passages that I'm going to reference are probably more familiar to most people, perhaps, than the Davidic covenant. But they establish the same idea that I want us to make sure that we're clear on here, is that these promises get more and more specific as time goes on. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. This, of course, is a verse that we're familiar with, especially this time of the year. Isaiah 9, 6 says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. So you can see there the idea of ruling and reigning and those types of aspects. But then when you move into verse 7, notice there will be no end to the increase of his government. So that's the aforementioned reference to government, or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. So again, you see the idea of the Davidic covenant here articulated in Isaiah 9:6 related to the birth and reign of the coming Prince of Peace. You can also see some similarities in Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, in the first five verses, it refers to the shoot or spring that comes from the stem of Jesse. You think of a tree, I often think of here, and the tree brings forth. Here we see a branch, and that branch bears fruit. Now, of course, this is messianic. This is Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. You can also see this in Isaiah 16:5. So the question is, of course, well, that's all well and good, but did Jesus fulfill these things? Again, when we think of Matthew's prophecies, I find them helpful because the audience that Matthew wrote to was Jewish and would have expected that the Messiah would fulfill all of these prophecies and all of these particulars. So we should expect it to be explained in Matthew's gospel. And in fact, he spends the entirety of the gospel in many cases constantly bringing up these prophecies and showing how Jesus fulfilled them. In this case, though, is Jesus heir to the throne of David? Well, if we go to Matthew chapter 1, and as I mentioned last week, you'll notice in verse 1, the record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And what you have here, just from the onset, is Matthew wastes no time. He connects Jesus to, of course, being the Messiah, the Christ, the Christos in Greek. And it says that he would be the son of David. Now you notice how David takes prominence here. This isn't to suggest that Abraham is unimportant, but you'll notice that I've always found it fascinating that David is mentioned first, and of course Abraham second, which chronologically is the reverse. So there's a huge focus on the Messiah fulfilling obviously both, but in particular David. So if we drop down to verse 6, notice again the reference to Jesse, similar to Isaiah 11. Jesse was the father of David the king, notice. David was the father of Solomon, and so forth. And then we go to verse 17, and there again, of course, you see, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14, and it links to Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, while we've been looking at the prophecies in Matthew, I would suggest to you as well, just as an aside, Luke chapter 1, verses 32 through 33, you'll see even in the prophecy there with Mary, you see where there's the emphasis on the Davidic covenant and the Davidic king and those things. Obviously, that's the prophecies that are given in Luke, although we're looking at Matthew, you might find that helpful. Again, that's Luke chapter 1, verses 32 through 33. Again, the heir to the throne of David. Before we move on to look at the next of Matthew's prophecies related to the birth of Jesus, I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 8 and 9 that speaks of Jesus, the Messiah, and a particular aspect of his kingdom. You know, we can be thankful that one day Jesus is going to return literally to the earth. And one of the many blessings of that is he's going to establish what we call the millennial kingdom. Jesus will reign on the earth. And one of the many things that is different about his future kingdom is this one that will have no end. That's one of the things that I'm so thankful for. There won't be elections. There won't be a vote or a committee. There won't be anything to usurp Jesus' rule. Jesus will rule in righteousness and peace. And we know that that kingdom will not come to an end. We won't ever have to worry about some other kingdom usurping the Lord Jesus. Very similar to Daniel chapter 2, the concept there. But let's read, before we move on, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions." Praise the Lord this Christmas that Jesus has come already. He has been born, he has died on the cross, and he's seated at the Father's right hand. And one day, when he returns, there will be an eternal, peaceful, righteous kingdom that will not end. Now, as we move into the next of Matthew's prophecies related to Jesus' birth, we're going to move into Matthew chapter 2. So we have seen so far that Matthew describes various prophecies that Jesus fulfills related to his birth. Now we're going to move into Matthew chapter 2. Now this is one of the more interesting ones to me. This one we're probably familiar with the Christmas story and the nativity scenes and those sorts of things. This is the account of the visit of the Magi that Matthew records in Matthew chapter 2 that covers verses 1 through 12. And the specific prophecy that is mentioned here, and I'd encourage you to read the passage in its entirety here, that we see, for instance, in verse 1, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea." And then we, of course, see the marker in terms of history. Herod was king, and Magi, of course, arrive in Jerusalem, and they're looking for the birth of the King of the Jews, which, again, parallels what we were just looking at in terms of Messiah needing to be a king. But here you'll notice something that is very important for us to see here, again, with the concept of these prophecies are not vague. They're very specific, and this is one in particular here. If you're not careful, you could miss. In verse 1 that I just read, it doesn't just simply say that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but Bethlehem of Judea. Now, why would this be so important? Well, the reason why this would be important, for one reason, is that one thing we're going to find out is that some 700 years before the birth of Jesus and so forth, approximately, one of the prophets prophesied exactly where Messiah would be born, and it was very, very specific. In order to see this, and you'll also notice as well, we'll return back here where this is referenced in the Matthew passage. But let's turn to Micah chapter 5. This is one of the minor prophets, Micah chapter 5. And the prophecy comes about as judgment is coming soon. And there is, of course, like you often find, hope for the future. God oftentimes in the prophets, you see this a lot in the minor prophets, for example, where God does say he's going to bring on particular judgment or something of a negative aspect. But that negative aspect is more often than not balanced with hope of future deliverance. There's hope for the future. So some 700 plus years before the passage that we have begun looking at in Matthew chapter 2, you're going to notice there is hope for the future because there will be a specific individual born from the lineage of David who is going to be a ruler. I'm just going to read the passage. Let's read verse 2 of Micah 5. "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you will go forth for me to be a ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." Now, if we stop there, although we can continue reading up to about the early part of verse 5, the specific prophecy is the birth would not be, noticed simply Bethlehem, but Bethlehem Ephrathah. And there's the reference there about it being small, too little, and it would be part of the clans or the, if you will, location there referring to Judah. At that time, there were two Bethlehems. One of them was where we typically think of as the town of Zebulun. Then there is the second one, and the second one is in the city or location near Judah. The reason why I point out that there's two different ones is in order for Jesus to fulfill this, he couldn't have been born in the first, but needed to be born in the location there of Judah, Bethlehem Ephrathah. Bethlehem, of course, Ephrathah has a lot of history to it, if you're ever interested in looking at it. Bethlehem Ephrathah, Bethlehem, that particular one, is the place of where King David was born, for example. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 1, It's interesting in the prophecy, if you notice as well, not only does it specify which of the two, so again, this isn't a vague prophecy. It's very specific, but it says too little. If you ever think about the very small place, we sing the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. So clearly the Messiah would need to be born in a specific location, Bethlehem, but it was Bethlehem Ephrathah. So it gets even more specific. Jesus, of course, being born not in a palace, but among the people in a very unlikely place. So the question is this part of Matthew's prophecies related to Jesus' birth? And the answer is yes. If you were in Matthew chapter 2, where we left off earlier in verse 1, notice, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Judah, Ephrathah, what happens? Well, you have the Magi that arrive. But notice verse 5 and verse 6. They said to Herod, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, meaning Micah. And then he quotes the passage that we read just now in verse 6. So Matthew chapter 2, verse 6 is quoting the very passage in Micah that I read just a few moments ago. It's quite amazing just to consider how specific, how perfect and intricate the scripture is, but we should expect that, of course, because so is the author, God himself, who wrote and gave us the word of God himself. Now, before we wrap up the particular episode here that we're looking at these prophecies of Matthew, I want to end with, if you notice in Micah chapter 5, in verse 5, after speaking about various aspects of the coming Messiah, he will be a shepherd, he will be great, and his name will be great to the ends of the earth. You'll notice the verse 5 of Micah 5, it says, this one, the aforementioned Messiah, and who fulfills those various things, notice, will be our peace. Jesus will be the peace of his people, and that is true, isn't it? That the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem Ephrathah. He would be divine. He would be a shepherd. But he would also be the people's peace. Now, we know one day the nation of Israel will accept Jesus, believe on and trust in the Messiah. But today, we know that when a person trusts and believes in Jesus, they too receive peace. I often think of John 14:27 with this. Jesus told his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The idea there is one day Jesus will, of course, bring in everlasting peace and righteousness in the kingdom. But there's also this internal, inner peace that we cannot get from this world in this present age. But we can, of course, have a special, unique peace when we have trusted and believed on Jesus. I love the rendering of Micah 5:5. This one will be our peace. And the question for you is he your peace? Well, if you have trusted and believed in Jesus, having been justified by faith alone and Christ alone, we have the Holy Spirit that indwells in us. But we also have the Lord's peace that is in us, something that we cannot obtain from this world. And he is our peace. Well, this concludes episode 45, where we're looking at Matthew's prophecies related to the birth of Jesus. We've seen again where Jesus will come from the throne of David, and that he will also be born in a very specific place, fulfilling all of these. In the next episode, we'll look at the remainder of Matthew chapter 2, as well as those prophecies there that are listed. Until then, thanks for listening, and until next time, God bless.